such an honor to be with you.
We have really had a very, very busy week. I have had a busy week. On Tuesday night, I met with my small group, a bunch of ladies that get together to read and study the Bible. On Thursday night, I was at our West Chase campus for Monday, Thursday services. Friday, I was here at noon and then again Friday night for a wonderful service of darkness. On Saturday, we had an Easter egg hunt, but I was right here helping to decorate with all these lilies. And if you have not been up close to lilies very often, they will make you sneeze and cough a lot. And then, of course, there's this morning, the most wonderful day of all. I just get really busy sometimes, and I know you all do too. And when I go home at night after being away from the house and I'm very, very tired, I love to sit down and watch television with my husband. We have a variety of shows that we like to watch. And one of them happens to be NCIS. I confess, I like Jethro. So I decided that if I liked it that much, I need to give it up for Lent. And so when I go home today, I have 7 episodes that I get to watch. Pastor Andy said, this is called binge TV watching. And I'm going to do that today. Very often when I'm not there, Max will record something for me because he knows exactly what I like. And when I walk in, he'll say, do you have a moment? I recorded something for you and I think you're going to love it. Most of the time, it's one of those heartwarming stories that you see at the very end of the news. You have to watch all that depressing stuff before you get to the one good thing at the end. Well, these are the kind of stories that make my eyes grow red and tears run down my cheeks. Am I the only one here today that likes those kind of stories? Aha, I saw some hands go up. Well, show me a video of a soldier coming home after having a long period of time away from his family, and I get so many tears in my eyes I can hardly see. I get even more emotional when that soldier goes to the school and he says something over the loudspeaker, and his little child recognizes his voice, and then the child is trying to find him or her. And I love it when the soldier comes home from a long time overseas and he goes into the child's classroom. The principal, the teachers, everybody know what's about to happen. And he goes up behind his son or daughter's desk and whispers their name. The hugs, the tears, the kissing, and I am turning to mush. I love these stories. But really, I'm not picky. It doesn't have to be a soldier. It can be any kind of human interest story that my husband records. I watched a documentary the other day of an adoption agency that separated twins at birth in order to study them all the way through adolescence. That is horrible. They unsealed their documents when they started getting a lot of pressure, and 2 young men got a phone call and said, guess what? You're an identical twin. I bet you didn't even know you had a twin brother. When they were reunited at the airport, I started crying as they were walking towards each other. The emotion just overwhelmed me. And if I can go one step further, I really like dog stories. I like dogs being reunited. You're shaking your heads. With their owners. I love that. And when they're reunited or the dog hears the voice, they jump and roll together on the ground, and you can hear the dog whining and crying. A while back, I watched a video on, I believe it was America's Funniest Videos, and a man had been in a hospital for months, and he came home, and his wife made him sit on a bench. His back was to the house. She went in and got their beloved pet, and the pet came out the door and saw the intruder in his yard and began to bark and bark and bark. And then the man called the dog's name, and the dog's eyes got big, and the dog went towards him, and when the dog saw him, the dog broke into a dance. And the old man, I mean, his face was just glowing. It's those kind of stories that we need, because that lets us know that love can triumph and not everything is bad. And people care enough to be reunited with us when we are away. That's the reason I love the story that Bill read to you today. It's a story of two people being reunited, and yes, not for such a long time, but it's still a very emotional story. It's the story of love and devotion, and even though it happened 2,000 plus years ago, it still speaks to us today. Now, it's been called the greatest recognition story of all literature. Of all literature. Mary had the honor of being the very first person to see the risen Christ. You know, not everybody would have picked her for this honor. Number one, she was a woman in a male-dominated culture. Not only that, when you read Luke, you realize that Jesus chased 7 demons from her. Not everybody would think that Mary should receive this wonderful blessing. Her companions would have never picked her, but guess what? She was Jesus' top choice. So very quickly, let's meet some of the characters in the story that Bill read to you. There's Peter, one of the disciples who had just denied Christ 3 times. Next is the beloved disciple, and many of you are thinking, well, who was that? We tend to think it's John, but we're not 100% sure. So they came, next the beloved disciple was John. And with 10 other disciples, they had been following Jesus and his ministry. They had front row seats to his teaching. They had witnessed every miracle that he had done. Then there was Mary, along with Jesus, who happened to be the main characters of the story. Mary loved Jesus. She had such devotion to him because he had totally changed her life. And for any of you that have ever had your life changed by Jesus, you can imagine the love that Mary must have felt. The story opens with Mary walking to the tomb, and it's still dark outside. This happens to be the resurrection window right up there. She had just lost her Lord and her Master, and she had to go to the tomb and grieve. She wasn't like those women that go out and wail over someone dying. Those were the professional mourners that were often hired. She just went to the tomb, much like we stand over the grave of one of our loved ones and weep. She just wanted to cry. When she arrived in the dark, she could see that the stones securing the tomb had been rolled away. That was very unusual, and it perplexed her. So she took off, and she went back to her friends. And now a flurry of activity begins. While the rest of Jerusalem is sleeping, The three of them started walking towards the tomb. No, then they started running. And guess what? The disciple, the beloved disciple, the one that Jesus loved, outran them all. Perhaps he may have been a little younger. And he comes to the tomb and he peeks in and he just sees linen cloth there. Peter is right behind him and he's a lot more bold. He kneels down and goes into the tomb and sees the linen wrappings and the napkin that was wrapped over Jesus' head, neatly, neatly folded. Well, what had been a normal day to go to the tomb and weep turned into one of those scratch-your-head days and try to figure out what all is happening. Try to imagine yourself in this scene. Try to imagine that you're with Peter and the beloved disciple. How would you feel if you came up to the tomb and it was empty? Would you scratch your heads too? You know, Jesus had told them, I am going to come back. I am going to be tortured and I'm going to be flogged. But on the third day, I will rise from the dead. They didn't even have a clue what that meant. All they could figure out is somebody had taken his body. So with brain-numbing questions going on in their head, they simply go back to where they were staying. They didn't know what to do. Would you know what to do? But Mary stays there. And then she gets up her courage and she looks in the tomb and she sees two angels sitting there. And they engage her in conversation. Who are you? Why are you crying? And who are you looking for? Well, she just talks to them as if they were ordinary people because maybe her grief had blinded her. She didn't get excited. She didn't get upset. And I know if I went to the cemetery, as I often do, and two angels were sitting there talking to me, I would go right over and get in my car, start it, drive home, and go straight to bed because I would know I was really overtired. But then, there's a man that she thinks is a gardener, and he says again, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? And she said, I am looking for Jesus, and if you have taken his body, just let me know where it is, and I'll go get it, and I'll take care of it. She's a woman. How in the world could she have taken Jesus' body and put it someplace else? She wasn't even thinking straight. She just knew, I have to find him. Okay, now zoom in a little closer with me on this story. Mary turns back and looks in the tomb and she keeps weeping. Her eyes are focused on that tomb. And then all of a sudden, she hears someone say her name. Mary. It's like your mom or your dad or someone that knows you so well calling out your name. You recognize it immediately. And she turned around and she looked and there was Jesus standing there. What does she do? What would you do? She fell on the ground and she began to worship him. And he goes, oh, don't hold on to me, Mary. There's more work to do. Go and tell the others that you have seen the Lord. And she did just that. Gosh, there's the end of the story. We've met all the characters. We know the action. We know the conflict. We know the resolution. We should be done, but we're not. Two things happened in the last verses, 11 through 18, that maybe you didn't realize. We're going to pull them out in just a minute, and we're going to look at them, and we're going to see how those things affect us today. Well, the two things that happen, so you may want to look for them, is Mary could not recognize Jesus because she was blinded by her tears. And the second thing was, she was looking for Jesus in the wrong direction. She was blinded by her tears, and she was looking for Jesus in the wrong direction. You know, standing over the grave of someone you love or watching someone get ready to transition into heaven can bring tears to any of our eyes. I read the other day that tears are a language that God understands. Not only that, all of us have a time frame of when we grieve. We may be over it in several months, or it may take years. It doesn't matter. It's all how you are able to grieve. But often when we are grieving the loss of a loved one, our eyes are so filled with tears that we are not able to see Jesus. People explain to me all the time, and I just feel totally numb. I feel like I'm in a fog. I'm crying so much that I can't even read my Bible. I can't read anything. I am constantly crying and grieving. So number one, tears can blind us from seeing Jesus. But there's another thing that can blind us. That's when tragedy strikes. A couple of weeks ago, I met with the staff of Kingwood United Methodist Church, and they were telling me that they were hit really hard by Hurricane Harvey. And they told me that some of their members have not even come back to church yet. And even though their church is in their neighborhood and it's easy to get to, emotionally, they are not able to come to church. That has happened with us right here too. There are still people who are not in their homes, who are struck by this tragedy, and they aren't able to see Jesus. You know that it's understandable in that situation, but when they don't come, they're missing out on the love and the comfort of all of their friends. It can be Hurricane Harvey. It can be a sudden illness, a wayward child, an unfaithful spouse, the loss of a job. That can throw all of us into a deep fog and prevent us from seeing Jesus. And we can also be blinded by something that I mentioned to you a minute ago, and that is called the news. The news can make you totally depressed if you watch it continually. I was watching it the other day, and there was the main story, and the anchors were telling it. And down at the bottom was scrolling all of this stuff, and it was all negative. Negative top, negative bottom. I couldn't believe it. It almost made me depressed. I mean, the news is available to us 24/7. Is there ever any good news? That's enough to put you in a panic attack and make you wonder what is going on with our world. And it can make you become afraid. Adam Hamilton is a pastor at Church of the Resurrection in Kansas City. And he has just written a new book called Unafraid. It's for Christians and everyone alike. He says one of the reasons that our nation is so afraid is because the news media makes us that way. Did you know that there are people escaping to the hills and setting up little villages because they are so frightened of what may happen? In the hills of West Virginia, my home state, there are many little like communes there where people are moving because no matter what happens, they think they'll be safe there. We can get totally blinded by bad news, and we can get so depressed that we are afraid that we might not be able to see Jesus. And then there's one more. We can get totally blinded by our sin and our guilt and our shame. Honestly, sometimes I think that people, including me, we like our sin. And we don't want to deal with it because we know that we are dusty and we are dirty. And so I knew a woman who was dealing with her sin, and she didn't even want to see Jesus. It was so much easier for her just to turn her back and keep on doing everything that she was doing. Deep in our hearts, sometimes we know we're doing something wrong, and it takes courage to make those changes. But we don't want to look at the courage. We just don't want to have Jesus see us. We're blinded by our sin and our guilt and our shame. But even in our tears and our tragedy, our fear and our sin, Jesus is still with us. He is right behind us all the time, just like he was with Mary. And he keeps calling our names like the old hymn, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's calling for you, and he's calling for me. He's just waiting for our hearts to soften so we can set some of these things aside and focus on him. He is waiting for the time where we can be reunited with him. Now, the second thing that I mentioned, we have to go all the way back to the tomb one more time. Mary was not looking in the right direction. Mary was looking in the tomb. She was looking for a dead man, and there was not a dead man there. She kept looking in the tomb and looking, and she was totally in the wrong direction. For the past several days, I've gone outside in the darkness and just sat there on my patio to try to see what Mary felt when she went out into the darkness. And in that time, I've had a lot of time to reflect on my own life. I've thought of the times that I've looked in the wrong direction and made decisions based on my human condition. I've made some wrong decisions. I've made some wrong choices. Have you ever done that? When I was younger, I thought I was so smart, and I would make decisions based on the culture of my time. And I was so wrong, and I had to suffer the consequences. Well, many devoted Christians sometimes look the other way when it comes to Bible study and learning just how to read your Bible. That's why I hope you will sign up for the class that Jim and Carol are offering. It can totally change your life. But we get busy, don't we? We're on the run. Sometimes we just take our Bible and we set it aside. And we walk the other direction. We don't even look at it or read it. But you know, that Bible can help us change our course in our lives. The good news of today is Jesus did exactly what he said he was going to do. He came out of the tomb. Mary saw him first, and then he appeared to many more. And do you know that his spirit is with us here today? You may not realize it, but he's right behind you. And he is waiting for you to hear his voice. And he is calling out your name, and he keeps calling, and he is never going to stop calling your name. He is also trying to tell you, move in another direction. Change course a little bit. It's going to help you a lot. Scripture tells us that our lives are so important to Jesus, and our names are written on the palm of his hands. We're so important that he died for us. The good news today is you can be reunited with Jesus, and you can do it before you go home. You can do it at the altar. You can do it sitting in the pew. But you can be reunited with Jesus today. Fix your eyes up on him. Let him clear your vision and give you fresh sight. This Easter, don't leave here without resetting your compass a little. Because even if you reset it just that much, it can make all the difference in the world. This Easter, listen carefully. Listen, for Jesus is calling your name. He knows you, and he knows what you're going through. And he knows when you are afraid and when you are suffering from sin or you are dealing with tragedy. When Jesus said Mary's name, her eyes were opened and she saw that he was not a gardener at all. He was the risen Christ. The power of Christ's resurrection from the dead. The forgiveness of her sins and the promise of eternal life were hers forever. And guess what? They're yours too. They're yours too. Listen. Can you hear it? Jesus is calling your name. Will you respond to him today? It's in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, we are so thankful for today. We are thankful that you loved us so much and you knew each and every one of us by name and you knew what we would do in the future, but you died for us anyway. Thank you for Easter Sunday and thank you for coming out of the tomb. Thank you so much that we know you will never, ever give up on us, that you will call our names until we turn and face you and surrender. It's in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen.